We have so many stories to tell about tithing, about how God has blessed us through that. Because there's been times where we are committed to tithing, but sometimes it's not really there. But we have the faith that God's going to take care of us. So we are very committed in our tithing and offerings. And the stories that come from God being faithful to providing for that, as long as we're obedient and we do what we say we're going to do with our financials, that He takes care of us.
When we filled out our E320 cards for the Immeasurably More, I put miracle money on one of my cards and stuck it on the refrigerator. And we're just believing for God to bless us financially so that we can just in turn see more and more people come to know Jesus through what New Walk is doing. We're excited about that.
The excitement that we have with the church and that is just like, I can't wait to see what God is going to do with this church, with Wild at Heart, with Captivated. I want to help see Wild at Heart grow into 4 or 5 trips a year. I'm not sure Pastor Gary would like that. but to have that, have it grow that much. And we love this church and we are very committed to this church. Since we're full-time RVers, we want to honor our commitment to church and to God with our tithes and offerings. So All In has made it easier for us to take care of that, to where we just, it's a reoccurring gift, and we just don't have to worry about it.
We are so excited to see what Immeasurably More is gonna be doing. Like, by the time we get back, the building will be almost completed. And so we're excited to see that fill to capacity and just to see how that E320 giving is really gonna benefit the people in this area. We're gonna just see the parking lots full. We're just believing big for God to show off during the new building.
And we also believe that if we are faithful to what God has directed us to do, that great things are gonna happen. And there's no doubt in my mind that great things are gonna happen here with this new building.
They're already happening.
Yeah, they're already happening. And I'm excited to see the people that are gonna be reached throughout this.
All right, hey, thanks to the McClures and their story, and been enjoying getting to know them and what God is doing in their life. This is the third of 3 weeks that we do every year leading into summer, where we promote something called our All In campaign or journey. And really all it is we're just asking everybody that calls this church their home to be involved in supporting the work that we do here. And, you know, we've been highlighting some of the stories and that have gone on here at our church, because those are the stories that our resources are a part of. And as we've been going through this journey over the last couple of weeks, I've been saying, hey, if you call this church your home and you don't really support us regularly, maybe you come and you remember to give a few bucks here and there, but like while you're out, you forget to kind of support the work of the church. We're asking people to say, okay, no, I'm going to be involved consistently, even when we're traveling. And when we're traveling, the most is in summer. And we, as a church family, don't stop putting the pedal down and reaching our community. It's one of the rare things about our church is that, you know, while some churches kind of cruise control in the summer, take the summer off, New Walk doesn't stop. We keep the pedal down because we know there are people that need to know about the goodness of Jesus. By the way, do you think Satan takes the summer off? No. And so we don't either. And so we keep working to connect with our community, but those things take resources. And so we just say, hey, while you're out and about traveling, doing whatever, like, we are still working. Let's keep the work of the church happening and keep it funded. And so we said, hey, if you're not currently supporting us regularly, take that little card that's on your seat, go down the hall. At the end of the hallway on the left-hand side, there's a long table there. It's our information table. There are people who will tell you what you need to do to get set up. And then as a thank you for setting up and being a part of our church family through giving, we've got a little canvas or a little bag to give you. We got a little New Walk travel bag and some New Walk sunglasses as well. And really, these things are just a little reminder and a thank you for saying, hey, you decided to get involved. And we appreciate it. You know, over the last few weeks, about 60 families have said, hey, we haven't been supporting the church regularly. We're going to do that. And they've made that commitment to step up. And I want to cheer on those families and say thank you so much for doing that. But we know, again, there are probably 100 or 200 more families that call this church their home and just don't really consistently support it. And so if you would take that step, just take that card off your seat, take it down the hall, the end of the hallway there, and say, I'm ready to get started. They'll get those gifts in your hands and tell you what you need to do to get that started. It makes a difference in the summer. Pedal down in the summer. I've shared the last couple of weeks. What about our kids ministry across the hall? Like, we are going all out to reach kids this summer. They're at home doing different things. Like, we want them to come to church. We want them to hear the message of Jesus Christ. So we've got all these things that are happening. And of course, that means parents are coming as well, and they'll get to hear about Jesus. These things take financial resources to put on, and that's why we're counting on you to be a part of that. And then we have our youth summer nights, these extended nights where we're doing these cool things at our youth nights on Wednesday nights for our students, 6th through 12th grade. You can see all of the cool events that are happening there on the screen. Those, again, take resources, but what are we doing there? Inviting students in to hear the message of Jesus Christ and impact their life as well. And then how about adults? Don't have a slide for it, but I've shared the last couple of weeks. Our Blockbuster series, actually, it starts, they corrected me this week, it starts the last week of June, so we're not far out for the beginning of our Blockbuster series. I hope you'll be a part of that here in this auditorium as for our adults. All these things you're being involved in, please get involved in the All In Journey with us. This series has been about you and I believing. We call it, you know, God meant it for good, and we've been talking about how we can believe that in the midst of really difficult times in our life, that God is still trying to work something for good in our lives. And, you know, in week one, we talked about the trials of Joseph and how he had to believe that God was working for good. And we talked about Elijah last week and how, again, very dark situation and how he had to keep his eyes focused on the right things. And the same is true this week. I'm going to talk about, you know, what happens in difficult situations in your life and how you and I could still see God working for good. You don't need to know, like, you're not thinking about God working for good in your life when you're on the mountaintop. It's good right there. You're not really worried about it there. It's all this crisis of faith and can God still be working something for good? It's always going to be in those sort of valleys of life where, you know, like, it feels like the walls are caving in, right? When you're in a valley, like really a mountainous valley, you know, what do you see? Mountains on either side, and it's really hard to see through it and clear it clearly that there may be something more awaiting you. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. You're getting into a valley in life, and now all of a sudden it feels like, you know, the walls around you are so steep. How do we deal in those moments with what we're seeing and experiencing to still believe that God is working something for good? This text that is the centerpiece of our series, Genesis 50 and 20, we've highlighted the last couple of weeks, and Joseph's trials, and now his brothers come to him, and you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, right? How can we still believe that in our lives? We talked about valleys. How many of you understand that life is all about mountaintops and valleys? We just go through it. You live long enough, you go through the highs, you go through the lows in life. How can we, though, in those low moments, see things differently? That's what this is, perspective. You see things in the visual, in your mind, or you think things in your mind. Like, this feels overwhelming, right? But what is the actual truth? That requires a change in perspective. Paul understood this. You know, the hardships that Paul went through. One time, this famous text, he says this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, right? That's like a valley. You're in a low place. But we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. All right, here's a guy who's saying, okay, we're going through some stuff. I'm going through some stuff, but I don't see that messy, I see something else beyond the messiness. I see that there's something more. That's perspective. How does Paul do it? Actually, in verse 18, it says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen, now that's the temporary stuff, but what is unseen, that's eternal. And so Paul says, how do I keep moving ahead? I change my perspective. I'm not going to be focused on these things that are seen. I'm going to keep focused on the things in the unseen realm, which, by the way, those are the things that really matter. When we were doing Immeasurably More, our series, you know, talking about supporting the work that was going to happen in this other building out here, you know, we were talking about this very text, and we were talking about how, man, it's always the unseen things in the kingdom realm that are the difference makers. Those are the things that last forever, right? The temporary, it all goes away, but it's the eternal stuff that matters the most. And to see the unseen, right, it takes a little bit of extra effort in your heart and mind to really crave and want to know what the unseen things are, then that those are the things that really matter. Think about that building over there. You see it when you drive in, that building, the way it's built and all that. Like, you could fix your eyes on the scene. Here's the thing about that building and this building. One day it'll all be gone. Dust to dust. It just will. But what are we fighting for in that new building? Not the things that are seen. We're fighting for the unseen. When people give their life to Jesus Christ in that building, they're spending eternity in heaven. That's the unseen, and guess what? That lasts forever and ever and ever. And so that's a different perspective, but if you want to live that out in your daily life, you have to fight for a different perspective or a different way of thinking. Paul says we're fixing our eyes. How can I look beyond this broken situation in my life, change a deliberate focus in how I'm looking going forward? And so I wrote this in your notes. We're going to look at three of the most common sort of difficult areas of your life and how to then respond, right? It's always in the dark times where you're going to have to really work through this, the difficult moments, the devastating situations in your life. And so we go through these, and Paul understood that David in the scriptures, he writes so much of the text we get in the book of Psalm. We get, you know, his how he's processing all of this in his life as well. And so I wrote in your notes, here's the first of these three things we're working through together in our time today. Here's the first thing. When my situation looks depressing, I need to open my eyes to God's goodness. When we think about depression, we start to feel low in our lives. I can tell you this. When you start to feel depressed in your life, here's one thing for sure that's a warning sign in that moment. You are not thinking about God's blessings in your life. You're just not. It's not top of mind. You've forgotten probably God's blessings, and now you're focused on something very different than God's blessings. I want to be clear, there are depressive states, there are clinical situations where, you know, there's a multitude, like there's things that need extra level of care and help. I understand that. But all of us have this in common. At some point or another in our life, we get down. And I can tell, in those moments where you're down, you are not thinking about these blessings and these good things in your life. And Satan has a tool in those moments. And here's one of his great tools. It's called the all or nothing tool, or the chicken little syndrome. Like, it's the exaggeration mindset. And so it goes a little something like this. You know, somebody criticizes you, and it's just one person. They criticize you, everybody hates me. And you make a mistake and you say, I'm a complete failure at everything. You see the words of exaggeration, everybody and always and everything, you know, these extreme words, like you have a difficult time in your life and nothing in my life is working. That's that extreme mindset. And Satan loves when you and I adopt that extreme mindset, right? One of the struggles that people deal with in marital conflict when they're trying to work through stuff is you'll see some, when they're trying to talk through an issue, they'll go to extremes, right? You always, and you never, and every time, you know, those are words of extreme. How can we talk through a crisis in our marriage when we're already off to extremes, and those extremes are really oftentimes not really reality, right? And Satan loves it when we do that in our marriage. Satan loves that when you and I do that with everything in your life. You go home today, you turn on the water faucet, one or two drips come out. Would it be appropriate for you to then run outside of your house and say, the world is out of water? No, that doesn't make any sense, right? You got an issue there at home, but the world's not out of water. And yet we do this sometimes with situations in our life. Satan says, okay, now here's what I'm doing. I'm getting you to enlarge your brokenness, that perspective. And what Paul is telling us and what David tells us is that, no, don't go that way. You got to go opposite. And how do we combat that? It's through seeing God's blessing. Psalm 27 and 13, David says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Like, I would be depressed if I didn't pay attention to the goodness of the Lord. So be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You've got to get your eyes off of what you've lost and start paying more attention to what you still have. You got to get your mindset shifted, like taking the focus off how I feel and start focusing on what God has said. Because as we said last week, what God has said is the actual truth for our life. You start getting these moments and your emotions, and I feel so bad, right? No, I'm gonna take my eyes off of that, putting my eyes on the goodness of God. If you're down and you're depressed and you feel low, which I think there's probably in a room like this, there's probably people that feel that way right now, this morning, I would say to you, here's a great step for you to take before you end the weekend. Here it is. Go home, open up a book or a journal of note paper, and write 1 to 100 and start listing out every blessing that you have in your life right now. You probably, if you're down and you're feeling depressed, I bet you haven't done that in a long time in your life. Maybe you never did it. And it would be good for you to list out the blessings that you have right now, because that's how you and I get our focus changed. That's how we start getting into right perspective. We deal with that dark, that depressing sort of state in our life, and we say, now I'm going to list out the blessings. It changes our focus. There was a song, a hymn that, you know, I've sang before, and some of you may have sang growing up in church, and it literally is called Count Your Blessings. And it talks about the turmoil you would be in if you didn't count your blessings. I'm going to read to you the lyrics or the words to the song. I'm not going to sing them. I'm going to do you a favor, but I'm going to read them. And so here's what it says. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, right? Dark, tough, tough times. When you are discouraged and you think all is lost, count your many blessings. Some of you know it. Name them what? One by one. That's right. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what the Lord hath done. What are you doing there? You're doing what I just, like, hey, change my focus. Start paying attention to what has actually been happening in my life. And by the way, a lot of the problems that you and I feel like we have in our culture today, compared to the rest of the world, like, your problems are probably not exactly what you think they are. Like, the rest of the world would love to have some of the problems that you have. Let's be honest about that, right? Some of you are so worried about dieting, and there's the rest of the world, they're starving. That's their problem, right? So, like, I think we have to change sometimes our perspective, our problems anyways, right? You're worried about retiring, and the rest of the world's just trying to survive. You're worried about your kids' grades, and I get that. There's some places in the world, they're worried whether their kids will just live because they don't have food and resources like you and I have. You worry about your bills. There are people on this planet that would love to have the bills that you have. They don't even sniff it like that, have the bills that you have. You're worried about your house payment. Many people in this world have no idea what a house payment is, much less a house, right? You're worried about your car payment and all the struggles with your car payment. They don't even have a car, much less a car payment. All right, so you're like, okay, let's just kind of remember, like, some of these problems that we have, right? The rest of the world would love to have them. I know we're going to go to the Dominican Republic, do our mission work, you know, in about a month. And, you know, when we go there, these people have nothing. And they will come to you and tell you they feel so blessed. How is that possible? You know, it's because they see, you know, the blessings that God has given them in their life. You and I need to do that as well. When you can't see God's goodness, right, because you've been so distracted by all the problems around you, we open our eyes to the goodness, we start remembering the blessings that we have. Here's the second thing in your notes if you want to write this down. When my situation looks defeating, like I feel like I'm just losing out in some things in life, I need to open my eyes to God's greatness, right? So when you feel depressed, you start counting your blessings. That's the goodness of God. When you feel defeated, you now need to tap into the power of God to kind of reverse this sort of losing, defeated mindset that you're feeling in life. I want to be clear, these things I'm sharing with you, apart from Jesus Christ and the power of God, like this power of God, all these things I'm talking about today, if you are not a believer in Christ, you have no access to it. And I don't say that to be mean. I just want to be clear. This is reserved for believers, the things I'm talking to you about today. And I would love that you would have come here today and you're not a believer and you would be ready today before you leave to make that decision. I'll give you that chance before you leave. But this stuff is reserved for those who are believers in Christ. But when you start thinking about winning in life, and we all want to win in life, great. We don't always win, right? I know culture tells us differently, but not everybody gets a trophy, right? You don't always bat 1,000. You make mistakes in your life. You flub, you make errors. You will fail in life. Things don't always go the way that you plan. In fact, many times they don't go the way that you plan. You will goof up in life. That's very motivational, isn't it? No, not really. But the fact is, because we know it's true and we need to be truthful about it, we also know that in those moments of fail, it could be real easy to think that I am now a failure, right? I start to drain an emotional energy because I feel like I'm getting behind. I feel defeated. And then we start to magnify it more and more, and we start saying things, right? An unhealthy perspective, like, why go on? Why should I even try? I feel like I need to give up. I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm at the end of my rope. Things feel hopeless. Why even try? And I've worked on this marriage, you know, for so long, and it's just not going to get any better. And I had dreams for my life, and I guess they're all gone. And my kids, I thought we raised them well, and they're going all in the wrong direction. I guess, you know, we lost out with our kids, and I've been wanting this healing to happen, and it's not happening. And so why even try anymore? Why give any effort? That's an attitude of defeat. That's what that is. And the Bible talks about this and really tells us that, hey, this is a symptom that of perspective in your life. But here's what David says in Psalm 147 and 5. How great God is. His power is absolute. His understanding is unlimited. He supports the humble, but brings the wicked into dust. Like, yeah, very literally that last line. This is available to the people who've humbled themselves before God, God's power. If you don't feel like you need God's power, you don't need God in your life, you're called the wicked. And so, I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. It turns to dust. And so now here's what we know is that as we seek out God's truth for our life and we seek out God's power for our life, now what we begin to move towards in our life is like, okay, now I see God's greatness around me and I want to invite it into my life and I want to experience that in my life. I want to access that power. God's power is visually, this is one thing, it's visual to you and I right now. You could look around, just go outside tonight, look at the stars and see, you know, for all of that to happen, the power of creation, like I don't, and everything that the universe, God's power to make it all, it's you can't even fathom that. But then you could look at things in nature. Right? God made nature, we all agree. And sometimes there's a great power in nature, right? Tonight if it was storming and you have this sort of like electrical storm in the sky, sometimes we see that here in Florida. It's like, wow, you know, look at the power of God. And when you see an earthquake or a tidal wave or these crazy nature events, right? We can see just a flex of the incredible power in nature and the power of God. And in those times, right, you say, wow, look at how amazing God is, right? God is a powerful God. Think about now what we find in science as they unpack the amazing creation of humanity. Right now, as science is digging deeper and deeper, they're like, holy smokes, there's got to be a creator because like within every cell in your body, and you have trillions of cells, and with every cell in your body, every single cell in your body has enough information and code in it to fill up like multitudes of encyclopedias, and that's just one of trillions of cells in your body. Like God did that, and he designed that, right? And because if there's code now, science understands, if there's code written in every cell, then there must be somebody who wrote the code. And the magnificence starts to be revealed. That's why people in science are going more and more like there has to be a designer. That just everything's mapped out. But anyways, you start to think about this incredible power of God. And now God says to you and I, you have access to that power, and what you just need to do is ask for it. I wonder how many believers don't even ask for it. And certainly when you're feeling defeated, you could be so stuck in this unhealthy mindset and visual perspective that you forget to think about God's power for your life. Psalm 69 and verse 13, God, because of your great love, answer me. You are truly able to save. You can save me. Pull me from the mud and do not let me sink. My goodness, have you ever felt like you were sinking in the mud? There it is right there. Do not let the floods drown me. God, I am stuck. I can't get out of the mud. I'm in a rut. I'm in a dead-end job. You know, it doesn't feel like there's a future, but I believe, God, you can pull me out of this mess. You got a situation in your life that feels impossible right now. I don't know if you're aware of this. God specializes in impossibilities. Here's God's specialty. Whatever you think or people have told you can't possibly happen, God says, oh, those are the situations I love. Because I want to show you that, you know, I have this incredible power. I can remember, you know, 20 years ago when we had a vision for what this church would be and what we believed and dreamed it could be. You know, for all these years, you know, our church was growing and it was starting to become a reality. And wow, you know, look at what God is doing. And then in 2019, very, very late in 2019, some of you know the story, we had believed we needed to expand. What's happening out there now, like that was a dream in late 2019. And then a few months later, COVID. And our church is gone. And it was just wild. And we didn't even know what was going to happen going forward just for our church and people. And in those moments, right, there, over the last several years, there could be some very defeating mindset for me, leading this church, for our community, and all the things that we had dreamed of to share the gospel for our community. And then, you know, one problem after the next. And I've shared with you that we went to so many different people to say, hey, we need financial help to make this dream become a reality. And one after another, they said no, you know, and that's why we've been so grateful for the Solomon Foundation that came along and said, hey, New Walk, we believe in you and we want to partner with you. But man, until that moment happened and until this thing started to get built, like there were some times where just like, man, God, I don't know. It could be easy to feel defeated, but what did we do in those moments? What was our focus? What did my focus have to be throughout all of that? It had to be this, like, okay, in these circumstances, I'm not going to be looking at all the things going on around me. I'm just going to keep my mindset focused on the power of God. I had to do that intentionally. Otherwise, right, I could feel like I'm sinking over and over. And that's what you and I have to do as well. We have to say, okay, I'm going through this trial. I'm keeping my eyes focused on you, God. That's what David understood. We get through the scriptures, other places in the scriptures, like, man, how do I know that in these trials, God is still doing something for good? I'm paying attention to his power. It says in Jeremiah 32 and 27, it says this, I am the Lord God, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? What is it that you've got going on in your life right now that you think is so impossible? A job that you think you'll never get, or a marriage you think you'll never have, or a baby you think you'll never have in your life, or some part of things that are something going on at work that feels so impossible, and you're sitting there saying, I don't think it's possible. Let me just ask you, who made you the arbiter of what God can and can't do? Who said you're in charge of that? You're not in charge of that. God is. And so, okay, God, I surrender, I accept this power that you have and going in my life. And the Bible says, and according to your faith shall it be done, it will be done unto you and I. We say, okay, God, I want to exercise faith. What is faith? It's focusing on the unseen. That's what we're talking about today. Here's the third thing in your notes. When my situation looks dark, I need to open my eyes to God's closeness. I was sharing with you last week that Elijah hit this bad moment and he felt isolated and he was sinking. And I was just sharing with you, like, one of the antidotes in a moment like that that you and I have to force our way through is to be like, okay, I'm still going to get connected with people. Because when you're feeling depressed or you've got stress, you've got anxieties, you feel pretty dark in your life, you sink, right? And you lower and lower, and you start to isolate more and more and more. Well, one of the great first steps to reversing that mentality before we even get connected with people is to realize that God has been with you all the time. We talked about that in week one. But you have to intentionally start to recognize he, in this dark place that I feel like I'm at right now, he's right there. When we talk about darkness, right? We're talking about loneliness, isolation, dread of the future, and just I feel very empty and isolated, right? No one's ever gone through this before. No one's ever experienced what I've experienced. I'm kind of on my own in this situation. No, you're not. God's still near. He's near to the brokenhearted. He's right there. I can remember, and I've shared this with people in different settings over the years, even from this stage, about how, you know, about 16 years ago, I was in a dark place of deep anxiety, like stress, anxiety to a clinical, like, medical issue in my life. And, like, man, I remember when I was kind of in that sort of funk, you know, you go through this thing in your mind where you're magnifying it, but also, like, I'm alone. Nobody knows what I'm going through, and nobody knows the trials that I'm experiencing. In order for me to overcome that, it took a multitude of things to start reversing in my life. But one of the first things I had to get back to set the right foundation to heal was I had to say, God, no, I'm not alone. God, you're with me. You're close. You're by my side. You've never left me. And I had to embrace, you know, great texts. And I actually began to focus on these texts as a deep part of my healing. And, like, here's one right here that I paid attention to, Psalm 112. It says this in verse 1. Praise the Lord, for all who fear God and trust in him, they are blessed beyond expression. When darkness overtakes him, light will come bursting in. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who sees it. He does not fear bad news, anxieties, nor live in dread of what may happen. For he, look at this, he is settled in his mind that God will take care of him. Some of you, before you leave here today, you need to remember that you get settled in your mind that God will take care of you. Get settled in your mind that God will take care of you. Do you remember that? Right? This is like, okay, I'm not isolated. I'm not alone. My God is with me. He is close, right? You're living in dread. You're living in worry. You're worried about how the rest of this year is going to go. I don't know, but, like, settle in your mind that God is going to absolutely take care of you. You need to settle it today, right? You need to settle it, the fact that God has always been there, and you're going through a trial right now, and maybe it's a health issue, and maybe, you know, it's a diagnosis that seems pretty brutal. Maybe it's a physical issue that feels like it's not overcomable. Maybe it is a separation or a divorce or some other relationship issue, and you feel isolated and alone. God is near to you, near to the brokenhearted. God is good. God is great. God has never left you or forsaken you. He is still there, and you have to change your perspective to know that he is right there by your side. He cares for you. He is aware. He has not abandoned you. Now, of course, some of this healing will not always happen on your timetable. And for a whole nother year, after I settled in my mind the steps that I needed to take to get help, for a whole nother year, it took for the clouds really lifted and the sun burst through. We do want it on our own timing, don't we? We do. We want it on our own timing. It went on for a whole nother year. And what I learned is that though I wanted it to happen instantly, what I learned as I'm able to process it now is through that additional year, God was still trying to show me something in my character development. He's trying to show me something in my character development. And see, what he was showing me is, like, I know you want this done, but I still need you to learn something from what you've gone through so that I can prepare you for something more. Like, of course, I'm just tell you one thing. Here it is. Like, hey, Gary, you think you're stressed and anxious over the size your church is back then? Okay, when I was going through, how are you going to handle it when it's this size? And so he was working like a refinement in my character and my development. I've said this over the years, and it's really true. God is not as concerned about your comfort. He's more concerned about your character and developing that in your life. And when you're going through, that's when you develop character, by the way, right? It's in trials. Not on the mountaintop, really. It's in trials. And God says, hey, in that trial, I'm trying to develop a character in you to prepare you for something more. And so, yeah, it took a little bit more time. Oh, by the way, you know this, right? The mess that you're in, it took you years to get into it. And so, yeah, God can expedite things, but it's probably going to take some time for you to get through this process and to start forgiving more and to start loving differently or start healing or start recovering in your life. And so we move on this journey, recognizing that there's still lessons to be learned. And then the moment comes where the clouds lift and the sun bursts through. And now you can start to see even more clearly. Psalm 34 and 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We keep on trusting. We keep on moving ahead, realizing that this thing is taking time, but God is going to bring his power forth in my life. Psalm 37 and 34, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steady along this pathway. And there it is. There it is right there. In what? In due season, he will honor you in every blessing. That's the timepiece. It's not happening how you want it. It's going to happen in his timing, and his timing is in due season. When I produce the refinement, when I produce the character, then you will see more clearly what God has been doing all along, but you will know that he never abandoned you and that he has always been with you in your life. I want to close out our time together with a bit of a visual thing for us. I want to go back to the beginning as I was talking about counting your blessings, and I think that's a great place for us to start right now. And to put this into practice in your life and in my life, when our mind starts to spiral a little bit and we don't think anything's going to be for good going forward, I thought what we would do, let's go back to the cross for just a moment and see it and visually look at it. I'm going to put a cross behind me. And, you know, the cross for us today, it's a symbol of a lot of things. God gives us these symbols in our life to remind us, you know, when we take communion, that's a symbol of what God has done in our lives, and we remember that, you know. But when we look at the cross, we look at it and we say, that's a symbol. It's a symbol of what Jesus has done for me. And if you want to get into counting your blessings at any time in your life, why don't you just go back to the cross and start thinking about all the things that God has forgiven you of in your life? How about you make a list of all the dumb things you did and how God has forgiven you? I think about it like this. Many years ago, I was working with a youth group, and I was talking to them and explaining, you know, what happened on the cross. And I was talking, I said, you know what? First of all, why don't you do this? Write on a piece of paper every dumb thing and regret and shameful thing you've done in your life. Just start writing it down. They started writing, you know, and eventually what I was going to do is get through the gift of the cross, show them, like, we're going to wad that up and we're going to throw that away. It's a picture of how Jesus Christ wants to forgive you and I of our sins. And so what I explained to them was like, hey, when you look at the cross, there's a reminder that this is what Jesus has done for you. Like, he has made a way in which all those kind of dumb things that you did in your life, and oh, by the way, have done and will do, right? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He didn't just die for the sins of humanity. He died for your sin. And he didn't just die for your sin past. He died for your sin past, present, and future. And I wanted them to know, like, you've done all those things that you wrote down on the paper, but here's the thing. God made a way in which you could be forgiven of all of that and whatever sin is to come. He did that through the gift of Jesus Christ and what Jesus poured out on the cross. When he poured out that forgiveness. And I explained to them, like, you wrote all those things on that paper, and the Bible tells us there is a penalty for every single one of them because it's sin. Right? In this realm, the earthly realm, when you do something wrong against the law, you pay a price, a fine, imprisonment, whatever it may be, your speeding ticket, you pay a price to make that reconciled. You pay a debt. Well, in the spiritual realm, right, when you committed just even one sin, the Bible says there is a penalty. There's a price for your sin. The Bible says the price is death. The wages of sin is death. That one sin, just one mistake. I was telling that youth group, like, one sin in your life and the penalty is death. But because of Jesus Christ, he paid the price on the cross. He paid the penalty once and for all for every single sin you have and will ever commit in your life. And when you look upon the cross, you can know that, hey, he did that for you and I. And that's a really big deal, because if you try to stand before God in heaven with one sin on you, just one, God wants a big family in heaven. That's why he made us. He wants all of us to be in heaven. He wants a huge family. But with one sin on you in your life, if you stand before God, you want to enter heaven, it's not happening. Because God cannot look upon sin. He rejects it. But through the gift of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. And when God looks upon you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the forgiveness poured out by his son, Jesus Christ. You are covered in Jesus' forgiveness. And that's what you want, right? That's what I wanted those students to understand. And so they wadded up that. They went and I said, how many of you want to receive that forgiveness? And many of them said, okay, I'm ready right now. Perhaps some of you right now here in this room, like you recognize you're separated from God. And you got more than one issue of sin. You got a lot, like me. Like you got a lot of situations going on there. And so you're just recognizing right now, before you leave, you can make that decision today, just like those youth did back then on that day. Others of you, though, you know what Jesus did for you. Why don't you go right back for just a little bit and think of all the things he's forgiven you of? Why don't you just look at the cross and count your many blessings? Name them one by one. That's a good starting place right now today. When we bow our heads and close our eyes right now, just you're a believer in Christ right now. Why don't you just count your blessings? Name them one by one. All the dumb things. All the list, and you can think of some of them, but you've probably forgotten a lot of them. There's a laundry list, and things still to come, because you're not always going to get it right. Why don't you count your blessings right now? Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, God, for making a way. One by one. Man, you start focusing on that, perspective changes all of a sudden for just moments. I'm not thinking about my problems as much. I'm counting my blessings one by one. Why don't you do that right now? Counting my blessings. Others of you, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't have that. You're separated from God. You don't have forgiveness. You can just receive forgiveness right from where you are right now, right where you're seated. I did that one day in church. You can do that as well. And I just said, God, no longer do I want to walk around unforgiven and burdened by all these things. God, I'm offering it up to you. All of it, and receiving your forgiveness today. You're cleansing me, making me new, washing me, preparing me for a new future in my life. I surrendered that day. Just, you can do that right now, inviting God in. God, I receive you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.